Job 42. We've started going through the Gospel of John for our Bible study, and then I began to preach from various passages, and now we are into the chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. Someone said the greatest sermon ever preached, followed by the greatest prayer ever prayed, John 17. And then our Lord's crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and the remainder chapter. So we will probably be preaching throughout the rest of the Gospel of John while I seek leadership as to what book to study through. I'm leaning towards something, an epistle, but still not sure. Until then, I was reading for myself in the book of Job and read through it and came to the end here, and this really, really struck me. And perhaps you've never seen this before. An Old Testament type you've never seen before is always a great blessing. Job 42, verses 12 through 15. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. You remember he previously had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The Lord doubled it. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hepuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. We study the types of the Old Testament pictures because they're a great blessing. We do that. But the reasons are many. The Old Testament proves God's word. Such amazing prophecies, that when the Lord opens our eyes to see them fulfilled in Christ, you have to exclaim, you have to be amazed and say, this is the word of God. No one could make this up. All the men couldn't get together and make up such a glorious, wonderful story, such a complex story. 40 different men wrote over a period of 1,500 years. They didn't consult one another, a few of them. It all tells the same story. This is proof that this is God's Word. It proves God's Christ. The Old Testament proves the Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ beyond a shadow of a doubt. Proves it. The Old Testament is the Gospel. It's the only Bible that the apostles preach from. There are not two Bibles, an old and a new. It's one. And the Old Testament is the gospel of Christ as well as the new. It reaffirms our faith. It confirms our faith when we see these things, especially things we've never seen before. We believe, but this strengthens our faith. It drives another nail in this sure place, doesn't it, which is Christ. And we say, yes, I knew that, but I never saw it. I now know it more than that. And it shows the unity of the old and new. All right, Job's daughters. Job is the oldest book, the first book in the Bible, really. He lived during Abraham's day. It's acknowledged by all that this was the oldest book in the Bible. Even before Genesis. He lived during Abraham's day, before Moses. So, since it's the oldest and the first, who must it speak about? Huh? Christ is the first. He's the author, the finisher, he's the first, he's the last, of whom all the scriptures testify. And he, Christ, is the one who all the prominent men and even some women represent. all the prominent men in Scripture represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning with Adam, the first man has to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul wrote that in Romans, didn't he? The second Adam. And then from Adam to Zerubbabel, from A to Z, Zerubbabel. Anybody know the story of Zerubbabel? Haggai and Zechariah, all about Zerubbabel. Both prophets. Called them minor prophets. Oh my. Nothing minor about them when they major on Christ. Adam to Zerubbabel speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, of him. Job chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1. Job is a wonderful type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen it before, but see it now in reference to his daughters. You see, his daughters came from him. His daughters are his offspring. They are his seed. And we're going to see why they're the fairest. Job 1, there was a man in the land of Job whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And down in verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, whom the Lord allowed or sent to tempt him, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth?" Nobody like this man. He's perfect. He's upright. He fears God and eschews evil. Now, who can Job represent other than the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? The Lord Jesus Christ. None so perfect or truly complete as him, as Pilate said in derision, but in great honor. Behold the man. What a man. Perfect. The only complete man or perfect man, upright man to ever live, wasn't it? The Lord said, of all men and women, there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one, until this man came. Upright, perfect, complete. And ye are complete in him. In him. None without sin. Verse 22 says, Job, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Oh, in Christ is no sin. He stood one day and said, which of you convinceth me of sin? Someone, no one. Devils, men, and certainly not the Father. Well pleased for his righteousness' sake. In him is no sin. And those that are in him have no sin. They're his perfect daughters. Now you know where I'm going with it. And born unto Job were many sons and daughters. Born unto Job. And all the sons and daughters of God are born of God. You must be born again. And we're born not of corruptible seed. We were born of our father Adam, but we must be born again. Born of God. And all of God's children, all of God's sons and daughters came forth from the wounded side of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he hung on, you ladies, when you had your children, what came out when you gave birth of the child? Blood and water. Didn't it? Are you with me? Blood and water. Well, when our Lord was crucified, they stuck that spear in his side and out came blood and water. What's that? Justification and sanctification. And you know what else came out of his side? We did. He travailed, as it were, in birth to give birth to his people. All the sons of God, through the seed of God, betrothed to Christ as his bride, yet are his sons. They all came out of his riven side. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Everyone in here knows it, don't you? Of God are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This is why this all this talk of free will and man getting saved and doing this and doing that to give himself life is a dishonor and a discredit to our Lord Jesus Christ, who travailed in birth to give birth to his children. It's an abomination to God because of the pain and the suffering. I don't take any credit for my birth. I don't run around saying I sure helped my mother out. My mother went through great pain, and my dad did everything to provide for me. I had nothing to do with it. And all God's children know that. It's not doctrine. This is life. This is those who know who gave them life and who gets the glory for it. So Job, born unto him were many sons and daughters. Verse 3 of chapter, verse 3 says his substance, chapter 1. His substance was great. He was the greatest of all the men in the East. He had so much great substance. What about our Lord? In Psalm 24 it says, the earth is the Lord's. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what he did, the Lord gave him the universe. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and the inhabitants thereof. All things are mine. Christ owns everything. He's the heir of all things. He's the owner of heaven and earth. Job's sons and daughters were sinful, weren't they? Look at verse 4 and 5. His sons and daughters, what were they doing? They were feasting. They sat down to eat and drink. And rose up to play. They were sorry sons and daughters, weren't they? Sorry. In verse 5, it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them. Rose up early in the morning. This is all such a picture of Christ. You see him reading between the lines? He offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. You're with me. Isn't that amazing? He said, it may be my sons have sinned and cursed God. So this Job did continually, never quit interceding and praying for his sorry sinful sons and daughters. People, you know why we're going to get to heaven someday? Because Jesus Christ died for us. Because Jesus Christ sanctified us by his precious blood. Because Jesus Christ said, because I live, you live also. Because he ever lives to make intercession for us. Again, it has nothing to do with any of us. Nothing. You say, what about that? What about that? It's of God. It's all of God. Let no flesh go. If you repent, the goodness of God. If you have faith, it was the gift of God. If you persevere, it's the preservation of Christ. It's perseverance. Great substance. Our Lord owns it all. He died to this end, Romans 14 says, that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. He owns it all. And dispenses with it as he will. He's the heir of all things. And you and I get it for one reason. We're joint heirs with Christ. We inherit it. We don't earn it. So he interceded. Now no type is perfect. My father used to say this, wisely so. That no type or no picture, no illustration walks on four legs. Can't walk on four legs. And you can't make it. Can't force it. This is where men get in trouble. I've heard men, I've done it myself, tried to make the type perfect and fit, and it doesn't. That's why there's so many. That's why there's so many types. All right? Because not any one type clearly or perfectly represents the Lord Jesus Christ. All the sons and daughters of Job were sinful, sons and daughters, and they died in their sin. The Lord killed them. He sent a great wind and it destroyed the building they were in, and they died in their sin. All of them, people. Some people in here with lost children have lost children. All of Job's children.
Boy, that's sad. If you've got one saved child, be grateful. Job didn't have any. Think about it. Is God's grace sufficient? Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. That's why the Lord put him through everything he did, to show that I can put all of this on one person at the same time. In my love for them, my mercy toward them, my grace toward them, my power, my spirit toward them, and that grace in them I put in, is so strong, is so powerful. They will endure. There's nothing that I sin that they're not able to bear. And I will, with that trial, make a way to escape it. Job proves that. There's nothing you can go through that God's grace won't bring you through. Fire the water. Lose them all. And you'll say with Job, the Lord gave. With tears and yet with full conviction, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, but God's children, they all die, all right, if they die in Christ. They die in Christ. We live because Christ died. And all of God's children die in the faith. He let us know that clearly in Hebrews 11, didn't he? He spoke of all those people, all his sons and daughters, and they were all sinners, weren't they? He mentions all those sons and daughters, and they were all sinners. From Abel to Zerubbabel. They were all sinners, worthy of death. But God, rich in mercy, His great love, sent Christ to die for them, and He died for them. And the end of that, Hebrews 11 says, these all died in faith. They died in faith because Christ died for them. All right, time went by and Job was tried. Oh, he was tried, wasn't he? In all points. And was not our Lord tried? Go to chapter 42 now. Chapter 42. Go to the end. We're going to go straight from the beginning to the end. You remember Brother Darvin preached on the beginning and Brother Donnie preached on the end. Donnie began with the end and Darvin ended with the beginning. So we know the beginning, or the end from the beginning of it. It's all in Christ. It's all about Christ. Time went by. Job was tried, and our Lord Jesus Christ, whom Job represents, was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He's our substitute. He's our covenant head. He represented His people perfectly. Was tried in all points, as we are, without sin. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Our Lord lived by faith. And that faith was imputed to His work, His obedience was imputed to our accounts. So we're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. And Job kept the faith. And look at verse 10. I've mentioned this in Wednesday's message. Verse 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And I urge you to listen to that message again. It's a very revealing. Give you great understanding. Our Lord had to go into captivity to sin, didn't he? Our Lord had to be made sin. This is such a mystery that no one can really explain it. But He did. He willingly, voluntarily, in the garden, began to be made sin. He gave Himself, offered Himself unto God, and God let Satan have Him. We're hedged about. Remember Job. Satan complained, you've hedged him about. And the Lord said, take him. I remember our Lord said to Simon Peter one day, Satan hath desired thee to sift you like wheat. So what did the Lord do? He gave Himself. He said, no,
I'm going to face him. And he's going to bruise my heel. Satan did. He bruised Christ's heel. He was. But Christ crushed his head, didn't he? And our Lord, who was made sin for us, the Lord, after he did what he did, God turned his captivity, as it were. Oh my, he who was bruised by Satan, now Satan is under his feet, isn't it? And he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, where he prays for his friends. He prays for his friends. He didn't pray for the world. We're going to see that. John 17. He prays for his friends. Who did he call his friend? His disciples. He said, I call you friends because I tell you, if I tell you my mind, you know me, I know you, we know each other. This is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Greater love hath no man than this. Then he lay down his life for his friends. And he, my. And the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Our Lord said to the woman at the well, salvation's of the Jews. He said to the Syrophoenician woman, he said, I'm not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She was a Gentile. Oh, but now, after he died, the Lord has given him double. He has Jews and Gentiles. Now that takes up the whole world. Out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, people in the world, Christ has a people. Like Job's daughters, sons and daughters, what's that, 14 sons and 6 daughters? Oh, our Lord has 14 trillion. More than that. No man can number them, but he does. And these friends of Job, though, that he prayed for, were they good fellows? Were they nice fellows? Were they good friends? They meant well. I'll give them that. Don't be too hard on these fellows, really. They came and they saw Job and they wept and they didn't say anything for 7 days. You think about that. They were so brokenhearted, but they didn't stick closer than a brother did. Not like Job. Nor do we. And they began to turn on Job. And finally, Job said, sorry friends are all of you, sorry friends. Are we good friends to the Lord? Which one of us has not forsaken him? Huh? Which one of us? All the disciples left him at the cross. They left him in the garden and left him at the cross, didn't they? All of them, but John. Sorry friends they were, but oh, what is their salvation? That he's a friend that sticketh closer. And a brother. He said, I will not leave you. He said, all of you this day are going to leave me. But here's your salvation. We understand it. Yeah, we do. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Though we believe not. Can you quote the rest of it? Yet he abideth faithful. You may deny him. He cannot deny himself. And that means if you're in him, he will not deny you. I never get tired of saying that or hearing it. Job prayed for his friends. After it was all over, verse 12, the Lord blessed the end of Job. His offspring multiplied greatly. Look at Isaiah 53 with me. Isaiah 53. And this is wonderful. This is just wonderful. Isaiah 53. This is the story, you know, the chapter of our Lord being crucified, prophecy of it, all fulfilled perfectly. Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, Christ. He put our Lord Jesus Christ to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. Job lived to see his seed. He shall prolong his days. Job lived, the scripture says he lived, went on to live many more days. You with me? And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. The Lord didn't die for his people to see them lost.
No. He's going to see all of them. In the end, the Lord's going to say, "Behold, I and the children thou hast given me. None lost, all kept by the power of God." Look at chapter 54. Don't stop there. Right after that, it says, "Saying, O barren, thou that didst not bear." Who's that? Christ. He had no wife. He had no children. He died. Oh, he had a wife. And he had children, all right. He just didn't. They weren't. They were spiritual. "Break into singing, cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. More are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen it." It's going to take a big place to keep all these kids. Revelation 21 or 22, I believe it is, talks about the size of the temple. "But thou shalt break forth," verse 3, "on the right hand, on the left, thy seed shall inherit the Gentile. Make the desolate cities to be inhabited." After Christ travailed, oh my, did he ever have a lot of children. And we're among them. All right, now, go back to the text. Here's their names. We have their names. There are three daughters mentioned. Seldom are daughters mentioned in Scripture. You notice that? In the lineage, in the heritage of various men like Abraham and so on and so forth. You read through the Numbers and the Chronicles. Very seldom are females mentioned. Every now and then. But some are. Certain ones that are play, now say this carefully, that play a prominent role. They all things work together. You understand that every single person born some way fulfills God's purpose. But they're prominent ones that are mentioned. They're, you know, in our Lord's lineage in Matthew 1, there are only three mentioned. Yeah, oh, do you love the story of those three? Huh? Bathsheba, Rahab the harlot, Tamar, who played the harlot. Three sinful women. Because this man, he was numbered with the transgressor. He's a friend of sinners. He came for sinners. His lineage, his grandmothers, as it were all sinners. Well, these three, and there are many mentioned, in, several mentioned in Scripture, like Sarah, Rebecca. You remember the end of Mount Moriah? Rachel. Naomi. Ruth. Anybody want to hear those stories again? Rahab. Don't you love to hear those stories? Mary. We're going to look at Mary this morning. Here's three daughters of Job. He called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Happen. Three daughters. Now, the names of God's children throughout the Scriptures have meaning. Always. The Hebrew names, they're all Hebrews, some Greek. The Hebrew names all had deep meaning. That's why they were named what they were named. Adam, red. Earth. They all had meaning. And these do too. And this is why I urge you to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's real names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are their Chaldean names. They have no meaning. Zero meaning. Made up by that heathen king. But now God gave them names. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. All three of them, their names have God in it. And so with these three daughters. They have deep meaning. Jemima. Now go to Canticles chapter 4. That's the Song of Solomon. Canticle is song. All the old writers called it Canticles. None of them called it the song. Canticles. Song of Solomon. And prepare to be blessed. And hold it, because we're going to look at it again in the next hour. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Jemima is first mentioned. She's the firstborn. Her name means affectionate
dove.
Oh, the Song of Solomon is all about the beloved and his beloved. Christ and his bride, whom he calls his dove. Look at it. Song of Solomon, Canticles, chapter 4, verse 1. This is Christ speaking of his people, his church, his daughter. Behold, thou art fair, my love, my Jemima. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes.
Jemima.
You think, oh, Job, Stephen, this is his firstborn daughter. What do we think about our daughters? You and I have one. And,
was she lovely to you? Still is.
Do you love her? Oh, still do, always will. This is what our Lord says about his daughters. You're lovely. Altogether lovely. Now, we don't think we are, do we? Huh? Do you think you're lovely, John? I do. The Lord does. Do you think he's lovely? Huh? Do you think you're lovely? He does. I do. Don't we? Huh? Dove's eyes. Who else had dove's eyes? Where'd they get these eyes? Christ. They look like him, you see. They're all Jemimas. So I don't feel like a Jemima. Don't you call unclean what the Lord's got. Oh, Jacob never called himself Israel, did he? He never called himself that. Did he? What's your name? Jacob. Always have been, always will be. Oh, no. God said he's Israel. Jemima. Beautiful. My dove, my love. It was the love of God that chose us, bought us, brought us, married us to his son. We love him because he first loved us. We may, like the Ephesians, leave our first love, but not our Lord. You see, Jemima was his firstborn child, his love, his dove. And like Gomer, he always loved her. And he said of her, and he says of all his people, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again and again and again. He turns them. Keziah is the next one. Keziah. Are you still in Song of Solomon? People, this sent chills up my spine. Her name means cassia. It's a spice. Keziah, cassia. It means cassia. Now, in Exodus 30 are given the principal spices in the anointing oil. Remember that. In the next item, anointing oil. Spices. And hold this plate. We're going to look at it again. In Exodus 30, the principal spices for to anoint the high priest and his son had in them many costly, very costly spices to make up this anointing oil. And one of them was cassia. It cost 500 shekels of silver. What was it? We don't even know today. They don't even know what it was because it's so mysterious and so costly. It's probably extinct by now. People would make an idol out of it. Cassia. It was of great cost. Now, people, we are redeemed by a great cost. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us and made us his daughter and anointed us and perfumed us. This second daughter of Job was, as it were, to Job, sweet-smelling perfume. You remember taking your little children when they were born and just smell of them? Don't they smell good? They begin pretty soon to smell pretty rotten, don't they? Yes, your sons, Nancy. My daughter. Because they're ours. But not Christ. That's not what he says about them. They're all sweet smelling to him. Because I smell like cassia. Why? Because they're in Christ. And Christ is in them. Dan, you there? Jot this down. Look at it later. You'll rejoice. In Ezekiel 27, verse 19. Ezekiel 27, 19. There's a prophecy of the tribe of Dan. You know what his principal commodity was he dealt with?
Cassia.
Cassia. Anybody enjoys that? Dan with it. Karen Hapak. Karen Hapak. It's the third one. We'll just call her Karen for short. How's that? I like the name Karen. I have a couple of sisters I love named Karen. What does this mean? Karen Hapak. Go with me to 1 Samuel 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Keep Solomon. Okay, I told Melanie to take your time because I'm going to. But Karen Hapak, it means a horn of ivory filled with a cosmetic. It was a horn of an elephant, they said. Gill and all the writers say that they took the ivory tusk of an elephant's hollow and they would fill it with this cosmetic or this paint that was principally for the eyes. Eye color. Okay? So this horn from an animal of great strength brought forth beauty. You're with me. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Here's another fair and beautiful daughter of the Lord named Hannah. That's why we named ours this. And 1 Samuel chapter 2, this glorious daughter of the Son named Hannah, whose name means gift of grace. 1 Samuel 2, she said in verse 1, Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies." Look at verse 10. He said, "The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." Strength that comes from Christ, who's the horn. The altar had these horns on it we lay hold of. His strength and beauty also came from that. Go back to Song of Solomon chapter 4. This is the cosmetic, the eye color, as it were. In Song of Solomon chapter 4, Canticles chapter 4, I read this to you in verse 1. He says, "You have dove's eyes." In verse 9, here's what Christ says about his people. Song of Solomon 4:9 says, "Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes." Just one. Just one. You know, the Lord, this color for our eyes that ravishes our Lord is coloring that he provides. It's called grace. And he has graced our eyes and he made our eye to be single. Single. To look on him. And all who look upon him with love and faith and look to him, he says, "You're beautiful." We're made beautiful through whose comeliness? His comeliness. Karen, you're beautiful to the Lord. You look like Christ through his coloring. His coming. And lastly, you got to see this. Man, I had so many verses. Go to Psalm 45. In our text, it says of them, "There was none so fair in all the land as the daughters of Job. None so fair in all the land." Well, look at Psalm 45 with them. It was said of the three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, because they were with Daniel. They were Daniel's friends. He said, "There's none fairer or fatter than them." Right? Esther. Anybody want to hear that story again? Esther, who stood before Ahasuerus and stood before all the people. Esther, it says, there was none so fair in all of the land as Esther, who represents Christ, who represents his people. None so fair. And all the king's daughters. Psalm 45. Look at verse 1. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of things which I made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. That's who we've been speaking about in Christ the King. He's fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into his lips. God hath blessed him forever, hasn't he? Verse 7. He's loved righteousness, hated wickedness. That's Job. Well, that's Christ. Therefore, thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory places whereof they have made thee glad. Well, here are the king's daughters. The king's daughters, Christ's people, were among the honorable children, women, thy honorable women. On thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. That's not Mary. That's not the Virgin Mary. It's Mary Parks. And other Marys. Is it Mary Magdalene? Not Mary the first. Well, she's there too. There you are, Mary. Oh, the king's daughters. They're on his right hand. Verse 10. Oh, hearken, O daughter, and consider. Incline thy ear, daughter of Adam. Forget your people. Forget your father's house. Come to Christ. You need to be his daughter. The king greatly desire thy beauty. He is thy Lord. Worship him. Look at verse... let's go on now. It says the daughter of Tyre will be there. That's a sinful woman with a gift. The rich among the people, not many but some, will entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Within. You remember? Christ had no beauty, no form, no comeliness that we should desire. O daughter of the Lord, do you consider yourself black? He says, no, you're comely. Beautiful in the Lord. Glorious within. Why? They're brought to the king in clothing wrought with gold. That's Christ. Brought to the king in raiment of needlework. They're following him. With gladness and rejoicing they brought to the king. And they'll be remembered in verse 17 to all generation. His name, their names, we're talking about Jemima, Keziah, and Karen. What's your name, sinner? What's your name? Jacob. No. Israel. Jemima. Fair dove. Beautiful dove. Keziah. Cassia. You smell like sweet ointment to thy Lord. Karen. Hapak. You have the Lord's strength and the anointing oil put upon you through Christ our Lord. Okay. That's that.